ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, fans of all ages, it's your favorite time of the week. You might need to brace yourself and grab a cold beverage. Mark and Scott are ready to drop some college football betting knowledge on your ass. The boys are back and ready to help you find some angles to beat your book, impress your friends, and get you ready to enjoy the greatest sport on the planet. So sit back and enjoy, because we're damn happy to have you. Welcome to the Crazy Sheet.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's your favorite time of week for you to download the Crazy Sheet. You get you something cold to drink and you buckle in and you get ready to talk some college football with your boys Scotty and Mark. I'm here in the podcasting studio, and Scott, I can see your fancy face sitting in your car. How the hell are you, brother?
Man, I'm good. In my rental car, I'm trying to do some work. Hopefully I'm generating as much revenue as I did last Saturday on the gambling front, because that was a good day, and I needed a good day.
It was a good day. You know, we talked about it being a weekend where a lot of people wouldn't watch, and as that always seems to happen, there's opportunities there. I thought we were going to have some upsets. You had some big names have some clunkers, but they got through the weekend. It was an interesting watch. Alabama, there was a lot going on. I mean, that's probably been the talk between that and Prime. That's been the talk of just about everything with Alabama last week, trying to start both their backup quarterbacks, Buckner and Simpson. Simpson looked better. Buckner looked terrible. And Alabama's offensive line's got some problems. And South Florida was in that game throughout the game. And I'm sure that made practice a lot of fun in Tuscaloosa this week.
Yeah, I can imagine that. It looked like Saban just kind of took that deal over and said, here's the direction we're going. How about Lane Kiffin rolling out that Tavarius Robinson's calling defense, not Steele? So I'm like, and then Saban's got to address it. That's going to be a fascinating game this weekend. I think the Georgia-South Carolina game was equally surprising, because it wasn't that how good South Carolina looked as more of how bad Georgia looked.
I thought so, too.
And Georgia's banged up.
Yeah.
And I thought that was an interesting thing. As everybody knows, I went to the LSU-Mississippi State game. That I got to tell you, the Tigers look exactly like who I thought they would be before the season. I think people are reading too much into that Florida State FSU-LSU game, the way that the score is bigger than that game was farther apart. And there's just a couple of plays that swung that game and really made it big, but LSU didn't execute down inside the red zone either. I think it's more a testament to how good FSU is. And because that LSU team I saw is as good as advertised. They did move Perkins back where he could pressure the quarterback. Spates didn't even play, or didn't play much if he played. And I just got to tell you, they looked good. That's the best Jaden Daniels has ever looked to me. I know everybody is talking about Neighbors, who was a Mississippi State commit forever, and then went to LSU right at signing day. I think Neighbors had a great game, but he's talented. That's not the point. Mississippi State played man-to-man coverage on him three times and three long touchdowns, and the coverage was fine all three times. I mean, it's not like he was busted wide open. Two of those three, Jaden Daniels threw darts. Yeah. And now all three of them were great throws. You can't play any better than Daniels played last week. He was outstanding. And if he can play remotely close to that level for the bulk of the year, man, they're going to be hard to handle. They might be the best team in the West right now, as I see it, which we'll get into, FSU and what we think about them this week. But LSU is still a good football team, and you do not need to write them off with that loss early. I think it is really – now, I think we talked about this last week when someone said, FSU needs to be LSU's biggest fan. I'm going to tell you something. LSU keeps playing the way they did. And, yeah, FSU can lose.
Yeah.
And not gonna drop anywhere. They're a good football team. I thought Coach Prime's response to the late hit in that ball game, what I would even call a cheap shot from the safety. I think on Hunter is, you know, you gotta understand if you're gonna run your K-Cole all week about it being personal, well, the other guys are gonna take it personal too. And that's exactly what happened. Was it chippy? 100% on both sides. And I did think that the hit was cheap. I did think it was dirty. I don't know how in the world you can throw somebody out for targeting and not throw them out for that. But, you know, that's just, to me, another problem with targeting and tossing guys. I mean, you watch Sean Preston's going to miss the first half for Mississippi State this weekend, and he gets hit in the stomach. I mean, really? I mean, this dude got a lacerated liver. But I thought Prime's response to that, which first off, can we say death threats to a college athlete are the dumbest damn thing ever. If you are an idiot doing that, literally ought to be put in prison. I mean, you're just so stupid that you can't be a functional member of society if you're that mad at a football game and you're above 19 years old and you're hammered and a fraternity dude sitting in the student section. I mean, you're just an idiot. I mean, giving kids death threats, I mean, come on. I mean, and I love how he responded. I love how Colorado responded in general to all of that. I think Prime knew, hey, man, chippy's chippy. We're going to play with some edge, and those guys did too. I like the response of it. Like I said, I like how Prime's running this program. A lot of people don't. I don't have a problem with it.
I don't either. He knows what he's getting himself into and how he's putting it out there. So, but as we talked about it, this week is when it's all going to start for Colorado, and we're going to find out how real or unreal that team is. They are the biggest polarizing draw in college football today, but I think it's good for football. You know, as we get it further into it, we're going to find out, is the Pac-12 as good as we think they may be? Could we see someone else come out of the ACC? What's going on in the SEC? And, oh, by the way, if you want a little sneaker, maybe put you some pizza money down on Oklahoma to have a chance to play for the national championship. I know there's a lot of season left, but $50, you can still get you something close to 20-1 out there at some shops. Might not be a bad investment, because I'm telling you right now, from what I have seen, as we are 25% the way through the schedule, it's wide open at the top. You know, the last couple of years, it's been really top-heavy. But right now, I've seen a lot of really good teams, you know, from 12 all the way up. This would be – I know we've got a lot of football left, but this would be the first time since you and I have been doing this that if there was a 12-team playoff, this would be the first time I could actually see 12 teams that we could put in there and get a good tournament out of it based on what we've seen on the field so far.
I agree with you. Washington is as good as advertised. They went on the road, just absolutely smoke-showed a mid-level Big Ten team. They're legit. They've got a legit chance to make the Natty, I think, depending on what happens down the road, like we talked about last week. But them, I can certainly see them them and USC both making the playoff if they have one win, because their scores are just going to be so impressive. Yeah. But again, there's a lot of football left. A lot of injuries determine this. A lot of teams are good in September, and it gets down to depth and things like that when you get to November. And that obviously is going to affect a lot. But I thought the games last week were great. I loved some of the things that went on. So it was a good week. I mean, 9-4 for us, Mark. That was a big week. We talked about a bunch of games. I mean, that was a huge deal. I think the biggest surprise to me of the entire weekend, not that Florida won, but how they just kicked Tennessee all over the field. And shout out to Graham Mertz on the Hottie Award for the week.
Yeah.
If you have not seen his girlfriend, it is worth an internet search.
Absolutely.
She is a smoke show. Kudos to Graham Mertz for winning in life and winning in football, because that is a pretty solid performance on both fronts for young Graham Mertz.
He now has two good games in his 5-year career that we can reference.
Exactly right. Right. How about Ohio getting a straight up win against Iowa State? I felt like that was a legit possibility. The Scarlet Knights, baby, are 3-0 headed to the big house. Love it. Gotta love it.
There is some really, like I said, there's some top heavy teams. There's some bad teams. Arizona State, holy cow, Lanning. Fresno State waxed those guys. But they're down to their four string quarterback at this point. And it's going to be a long season for those guys out there because there's some really good teams that they're going to be matched up against. I think the MAC's good. I think the MAC's better than I thought the MAC was going to be. So I'm excited about that. Sunbelt's going to be interesting as we get some things rolling. Let me ask you this question real quick. As I said, 25% of the way through the schedule, we still have a long, long way to go. What are two things that are hot topics that you do not think we will be talking about in another 3 weeks from now as we get to the midway part for the season?
Colorado.
I agree with that.
That is number one. Ooh, I don't know if 3 weeks gets it there, but based on what I've seen to this point, I don't think you're going to be talking about Alabama.
That was going to be my number two.
And I think you will not be talking about Clemson again unless it's the demise of their program after Saturday.
Interesting. I would agree with you on those three things. I think that you're in 3 more weeks from now, but I'll throw one at you. Something I think we could be talking about 3 weeks from now is A&M, because I think A&M will be undefeated. I think they will have not lost another game when they host Alabama in 3 weeks from now. And if Bama comes out here and plays like they did against South Florida, I think the Aggies could figure out how to get it done. And A&M will be in the national picture at that point in time in the midway point through the season. And so, yeah, it's going to be great.
And let me just say that really helps the ACC again. If that happens, FSU beats Miami to get them at home. They beat them at home, and the Aggies do that. Say the Aggies go 10-2 again, more strength, more just momentum right behind the Seminoles. So I think things are setting up really well for Florida State. This Saturday can go a long way to determining if he is going to be much like Sark and have to figure out a way to not get in the playoffs.
Well, you know, we're going to talk about that game when we get to it, so I'll just hold it there. But I'm excited. This college football season is shaping up. Somebody asked me the other day, they said, is this going to be wild? I said, wildest college football season ever was 2007, when at one point you looked up and Kansas and South Florida were ranked number 1 and 2 or 2 and 3. And I was like, what in the fuck is going on? But
that's when we had all crazy upsets last weekend. I mean, all West Virginia had to do was beat Pitt. With everybody, I mean, you know, with a great football team, and they just blow up right at the end of that ball game. Just that was a crazy year. Lesticles get him a 2-loss natty. That was a crazy.
Scotty, that's all I got for the recap. That seems like that was forever ago. I've bet on like 17 games since then, suffered through an NFL slate. And I will only mention this because they're your favorite team in the Pittsburgh Steelers, but fucking A, can that team screw up an undercover with 2 defensive touchdowns and a 71-yard Carl Pickens touchdown? I mean, what in the world? That team is terrible, terrible on offense.
Mount Canada, I'm going to have to find this stat as I am bemoaning Canada, but I don't know. You have 2 options if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers. Either Matt Canada sucks or Kenny Pickett sucks.
It may be both.
Because both of them those are mutually exclusive. If you think he's the quarterback of the future, then you better go get a new coordinator because he looks like hot garbage 2 weeks in a row. I know he's played 2 good defenses, and I know it's early in the season. But, man, if I hear one more announcer, color guy, sideline guy or reporter say how good Pittsburgh looked in the preseason. The preseason doesn't mean jack shit. I mean, they were playing starters when a lot of other teams were playing backups. None of that matters. Matt Canada's terrible. That offense is just absolutely atrocious. And I really don't know what they're going to do. From a from an offensive standpoint. Here's the stat I wanted to tell you. The Pittsburgh Steelers did not run an offensive play with inside the Browns' 30-yard line and still won.
Oh, man.
You know how hard that is to do in the NFL?
I give up.
I mean, they better be glad they got T.J. Watt. And look, Highsmith's playing great, too. Oh. Those two were fast approaching being the best tandem defenders in the NFL. They're both good. I mean, they are playmakers. Steelers don't have a great defense around them. They just got a couple of really good players, especially with Hayward out on the defensive line. But last night was wild. And how would you like to be the Cleveland Browns? You have, what did they drop? $270 million or something crazy on him?
Yeah, guaranteed.
Something nuts.
Guaranteed.
Yeah, I don't know if you watched him throw the football last night. That don't look like that kind of guy to me. Anybody that wants to tell me Dak Prescott isn't better than that can take a flying kiss at my ass. Because I've watched him.
I can't take any more Dak Prescott. He drives me crazy. Anyway, moving on. Let's get to college football. Thursday night, Georgia State will be traveling up to play on the turquoise turf as they go out to the Dirty Myrtle. Well, they'll be playing Coastal Carolina here. Over under here is 63. Coastal's laying 6.5. Both these teams are scoring over 35 points a game, giving up 16 to 24 points respectively. Georgia State's 3-0. Coastal's 2-1. Georgia State's 2-1 against the number, and Coastal's 3-0 against the number. Looking at this one, both these teams are heavy in the turnover margin. Schedules have not been difficult thus far for both of these squads that you got. I think this game's going to be a shootout. I'm going to let you tell me how we're going to play the Sun Belt Thursday night game.
Sun Belt is going to be my upset play of the week. I think both these offenses are good. I think both these offenses are going to be able to score on the other team. You look statistically, neither one of them are giving up very many points, both of them scoring almost 40 a game. I think both these teams are going to be able to move the football. There's some weaknesses on that defense that are strengths of the other team. So I really like the opportunity that for Coastal. But here's what I think the difference is. Georgia State has got a pretty good run defense, better than I think people realize. And this is one of the reasons that I like this team and in the underdog. I think it makes them one-dimensional. And while they're bad in pass defense, I think that allows them to focus essentially on the pass, making Coastal throw the football more, even though they got a dynamic quarterback. So I think that's the deal. McCall, I think, is going to be forced into throwing the ball a lot. I think this turns into a shootout. I just like any time that I've got a chance where I think both teams are going to score and it's going to be a shootout, you got a chance for an upset. And that's what I like about this ball game. So I like Georgia State as my upset play of the week, getting 2-1 money as well.
I'm going to lean over here in this one as well, but I do like Georgia State in this one. Georgia State can throw the rock, man. This is a team that has not been D1 for very long, and they were the worst team in the country when they first came up. And I like what they've got going here. I'm going to go Georgia State with you, +6.5. Scotty, next one.
I like the over in this too. So if somebody's looking for something fun, you can do a parlay or whatever. But this is I do like this over too, just as you bring it up. But I do think Georgia State's got to win. If you're looking for a good money line parlay, this is worth the risk. I mean, a good money line underdog, this is worth the risk.
I would never recommend a part. I'm kidding. I play them every weekend like a dumbass. Anyway, next game I want to go to, Scotty. Ja Tech, Wake Forest, two teams that we have been on. Why in the hell do I keep betting on Wake Forest? I have no idea. Georgia Tech, this is a much improved team. Haynes King's playing, they've played well throughout the first couple of weeks of the season. It's obvious.
Can I digress for a
minute? You about to tell me Lane wanted to cover the game last week?
Lane Kiffin definitely wanted to cover that number last week. Just FYI, there ain't no damn doubt he was trying to cover that number at the end of the game. We totally got hosed on that cover, but go ahead.
So anyway, he's done that 2 weeks in a row, by the way, and it's obvious that he knows what he's doing. But I like this game. Wake Forest still plays that slow mesh tempo, likes to throw it downfield. They've had a little trouble getting the offense rolling, but they're still averaging 33 points a game. Georgia Tech's coming in here averaging 35 points a game, but they can't stop anybody. I think this will be a much more evenly matched game. I like the over. I got it at 58. It's been released, obviously, by a service. Now I think it's up to 60. I would still play it up to 60, 61 in this spot. But I like the over here. I think this one's going to be a shootout. This is a conference game. This is a game most of the people in this conference aren't going to be paying attention to. I guarantee you the watching of this game Saturday night at 6:30 is going to be low. But you got a Georgia Tech team here that's fired up. They've got some win. They've got a win under their belt. They're feeling some momentum. I'm going to roll with them in this spot. Let's go over 60 in the total. I think we get a shootout in this one.
This number, one of the ways I really like to figure where the averages on scoring, defense, points allowed, things like that shake out, this shakes out right at 61.
Yeah, and so I agree with you. I'm with you. Anything at 61 and under, I think it's a buy on that spot. So definitely like the over in that one. Let's see, Scotty, what do we got as our next game? I'm not talking about the Mississippi State South Carolina game, so you can just scroll through that one if you want to.
The only thing I would tell people is that game doesn't go under, South Carolina blows Mississippi State out. I expect that game to go under.
Next two games I got are still in the ACC. Florida State traveling to Clemson. It's an 11 o'clock kickoff. This is a huge game in Clemson, South Carolina. Probably the biggest home game they've had there since Lamar Jackson played for Louisville and they went up and played this game in this spot. Clemson has owned this series as of recent years. Florida State's coming in here. They are laying 2.5 points on the road. Over-under total here is 55. Florida State scoring 47, giving up 22. They're 3-0 straight up, 2-1 against the number. Clemson is scoring 40, giving up 19. They're 2-1 straight up, 1-2 against the number. This is an interesting spot. You've got Florida State as a road favorite, and Clemson's not even ranked. They looked so bad the first week and a half, 2 weeks, that literally they're not getting AP votes. It's kind of strange to me, but where I'm at on this one is I like Florida State. I think Florida State's dynamic. I think they're playing with an edge. They've got a chip on their shoulder in this spot coming into this one. They've been blown out by Clemson a couple of times in this spot. Hasn't been competitive. I think they go up to Clemson, realize what they, you know, last week, they got it done against Boston College. I think they move on through and keep everything rolling. I think everybody's going to remember, you know, where all these points coming from Clemson when I told you they were averaging 40-some-odd points a game. Well, they beat a bad Florida Atlantic team, and they scored 66 against Charleston Southern. I think this is going to be a fantastic football game. I'm going Florida State. I know they didn't look good against Boston College last week. It was on the road. It was the red bandana game. You had some weather issues that never shook out. But then I also got word this week that there were a lot of Florida State players that might have been a little under the weather last week, and so you've got to go out there and you got to win your clunkers. But the thing that's different for me here is that I don't know how Clemson's going to exploit the Florida State defense. I don't see the explosion. I mean, Will Shipley's the most explosive player they got, and he's very reliable, but he's not Christian McCaffrey. And I'm only saying that because it's a white to a white. I get it. But Florida State, they've got some edge guys that can go. I think Jordan Travis, this is his third year to start. You know, the game has slowed down for him. You could see it in that LSU game. After he got settled in, he was able to get it rolling. I don't know. I think Clemson's front seven is still strong, but I don't know from the back four perspective if they can cover these guys. Give me the Noles all day, baby. Just doing the chop. Get it done. I'll take the Noles minus 2.5.
If Travis is healthy, which he got a little banged up last week, if he's healthy Saturday, they've drilled these guys. Look, you're talking about Shipley. He's not better than Benson.
No.
I mean, that's the bottom line. You look at the skill positions in this ball game. Tell me where, and I'm going to include defensive line in the skill positions. Tell me where Clemson's better. It's not defensive line. That Florida State defensive line looks really, really good. It certainly is not wide receiver, and I don't think it's running back, and it's certainly not quarterback, and it's not defensive backs. I believe Florida State has a significant talent edge, and for the first time, and this is why I think they're going to go drill those guys, they're able to compete, and if not compete, be better at both lines of scrimmage, and that's not happened. Their offensive line has been bad since before Jimbo left. I mean, it really hasn't been good since Jamez was there until now. And now it's getting to be a legitimate offensive line again. And that's the difference to me in this team. And I really like this team's ability. to get out, move the football, throw the football, big wide receivers. And I think not hitting the portal and not being as big of an NIL player as they should be, I think that is going to get shown for the problem that it is. I think Florida State may hammer these guys. They may make a statement for number one in the country.
I definitely could see that here. I like Florida State a lot, and I'm not just riding that train for that LSU game. I just think this team is better. I agree with you on the Clemson front. This team, they couldn't explode the last couple of years, and that's really been the difference for them. So, Florida State, baby, get this win. I need this if they're going to win the ACC. Let's stay in the ACC, Scotty. We got a nighttime game nobody's going to watch unless your kids are playing. North Carolina's playing Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is getting 7.5 at home. Over under here is 50. I'm just going to get to the chase in this one. North Carolina to me is so much better than I thought they were going to be. They lost Downs. You've got new offensive coordinator. The defense was garbage. We talked about all these things. This is a good football team. I mean, legitimate good football team. Pittsburgh, on the other hand, looks broken. Djurkovic looks terrible. Nardog has leaned on that defense for so long, and they still have a pretty solid unit. But again, they don't have any playmakers. And I think UNC can bottle this team up and is going to be able to exploit that. That's not a home field advantage when you're playing at Pitt, especially after they lost the backyard brawl last week. And so I like what we've got here. And so I'm going to take North Carolina minus the 7. I bought the hook. I got it earlier in the week, but if you have to, buy the hook. I think North Carolina covers this. I'm going to throw you this as a loop real quick. Just a little rumor I heard this week. So we've heard all the talk that Drake May was going to transfer. He even looked at Bama last year, blah, 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 blah. Supposedly, the reason he was saying that was because he didn't want to play for Longo anymore. And when Longo took the job and went to Wisconsin, that's what made him decide to come back and play for Mac. And I was like, well, it makes some sense. And Wisconsin looks terrible currently. And Mordecai looks worse than he has at Oklahoma or SMU in Longo's system. Thought that was interesting. Doesn't have anything to do with this game. Give me the Tar Heels to roll over Pittsburgh Saturday night.
Yeah, I think they're going to win this game. I saw a stat, and I know you saw this earlier in the week. Carolina's 12-3 the last 15 against the spread on these guys.
Yeah.
That's an interesting Yo stat right there,
because
I would not have expected that had I not read it.
Yeah, and there's been some good pitch.
So I agree with you. I like North Carolina here. This team is playing better. So bottom line is, think they go up, get the cover. Pitt did not look good last week. I just think they are probably outmanned. Great, good quarterback play can make a difference. And I think they have such a wide advantage there because Djurkovic is not looking good, as you said.
Scotty, let's go out west. Midday game at 2:30. Here it is, Colorado, Oregon. Over under here is 70.5. Oregon is now laying 20.5. When you listen to this, if it is still 20.5, go bet Oregon minus 21 is what I'm going to tell you. I think this game is going to get out of hand, and it's going to get out of hand quickly. The offensive line for Colorado is a problem. Shedeur Sanders is a freak, and I honestly think that guy has a great chance to play in the NFL. I don't think he'll go this year. I think he'll come one more year back with his dad. But that offensive line, as good of an athlete as he is, he's still been sacked 12 times. And it's not like they're playing the steel curtain defense here. This is going to be the best unit they've seen. On the flip side, you're getting Bo Nix at home with this Oregon team. I think they're right. I think they're healthy. I think they've heard all the talk. And think about this. Colorado is still literally – it's Wednesday as we record, and people are still talking about the Colorado State game. Prime's having to address it in the media, all this other stuff. They have to be in Eugene on Friday. You haven't heard one word out of the University of Oregon about this game. Not one. The only thing you've heard about this game is that Phil Knight gave them some shoes that changed colors. And that's the only thing I have read about them this week. Give me the Ducks to roll the dog shit out of Colorado. And if this game gets out of hand, I don't think Colorado's got the talent to stretch it back in. You've lost. It's like you said coming into the season with Travis Hunter. They didn't lose one starter last week. They lost two. They lost their best corner and their best wide receiver. And they can't run the ball. They haven't been able to run the ball all season. They're not going to be able to do it here.
Yep, that's exactly right. And I think that, you know, when you look statistically at this game, because Colorado's played some real competition. So this isn't where you can mix in, you know, they played a Big Ten team. They played their biggest rival, probably an in-state rival. And then they played a Big 12 team. So you get legitimate statistics on these guys. These are November statistics on them. Their statistics on defense are just absolutely atrocious. They're giving up over 6 yards a carry. Yes. I don't know what you're going to do. I don't know how in the world you're going to stop Oregon if you just give up 6 yards a carry. I just don't know how that's going to happen. And look, this offense, as you said, with the sacks, the offensive line is just simply not up to par. This is a good Oregon front, too. And on the defensive side of the football. So I want to talk about that as well. I think Oregon's going to gas can these guys. And let me be really clear. They've been where all three of these games? They've been to TCU, and they've been home twice.
Right.
They have not played in an environment like they're going up to. At Oregon's loud.
Yeah.
And loud. Even though it's not a gigantic stadium, not 100,000 people, they are right on top of that field. I think Oregon pounds these guys.
Yeah, it's what's interesting, if you go look at the splits on DraftKings as you come into this, Colorado is still getting all the money, all of it. But I think this is finally the week where the bookmakers get right because they have lost their ass the last several weeks. Now, granted, last week Colorado didn't cover that number against Colorado State. We played the over. But I think they get right here, and you can lay a big number. I don't like to lay huge numbers in spots, but this game's – if Prime's not there and you've got the exact same roster that Colorado has right now and you've got Mike McIntyre coaching this team, there's no question about it that we would bet Oregon to roll at the spot, and no one's even paying attention to this game. You're probably not even looking at it at this point. So that's my take on that.
Well, and Mark, to your point, because everybody's saying this, is look, when you look at the statistics of this, everybody's all that number's too big. They covered this 7 of the last 9 years. Now, I understand Prime hasn't been the coach, and I understand the environment's different, but it is not like Oregon hasn't gas canned this game a lot. It doesn't have the ability to go put wood on these guys. And I think this is where they get shown for fool's gold.
Now, I agree with you. I am all in on this one. Scott, let's go to the SEC. Let's go to 11 o'clock Central kickoff. Let's go to Nash Vegas, baby. Kentucky will be rolling into Nashville, play Saturday morning. Over-under here is 50.5. Vanderbilt is getting 13.5. Both these teams are averaging 35 points a game. Vandy's giving up 29. Kentucky's giving up 11. Kentucky's 3-0 straight up, 2-1 against the number. Vandy's 2-2 straight up, and they are 0-4 against the number. Did you watch any of the UNLV Vandy game last week?
Just a little bit. They looked terrible.
It was wild. They were up, and you thought they were going to blow them out, and then they gave up all these unanswered points. Sleeper going to be on UNLV this week. But anyway, SEC game laying less than 13.5. This is an SEC East rivalry game that's gone on. These teams have typically been the seller of the SEC East for years and years and years. I like the Blue Cats in this game. What's your take?
I do, too. I think just what we said, I'm just sound like I'm going to regurgitate what we said about Leary last week, but he's playing well. I mean, that really is the difference. Vandy is not playing very well. Kentucky's covered this number. The last three trips to Nashville, they lost last year, straight up. That is another reason that I think they're going to come out ready to play. I don't think this team's ready for what they're going to see in Kentucky. And while those games are always close in Lexington, they're generally blowouts when they go to Nashville. So I think Kentucky goes down and just handles business and moves right on down the road. This is an anti-Vandy bet.
Yeah, that's more me as an anti-fade on Vandy. Vandy has not looked good this season. And so I mean, I know Kentucky's got Florida next week, and that's a huge, huge game to them. And that is the only knock that I would have here is there could be some look ahead to that Florida game. But I feel like Stoops is such a good coach, so overlooked. Like, if you know, all the names that have been circulating on who they're going to hire at Michigan State, I have no idea why no one talks to Stoops. It's like a perfect – I mean, if he wanted to go up there, it's like you're in a basketball school already. Go to another basketball school, but you've got a lot more resources that are up there, and they actually like football. I mean, Stoops has done a hell of a job at Kentucky. I think he covers this one, but it's more of a fade on Vandy for me. I expected a lot more out of this Vandy team, and this is – I don't think they win another game this season, so I'm trying to find ways to get out of my over 3.5 win total bet that is not going to cash now that they're 2-2. So this is one of the ways I'm going to do it. Let's get Kentucky rolling here. Oh, Scotty, let's go.
The SEC sucks too bad right now to worry about that. A lot of football left.
Oh, boy. I'm telling you, if that bet cashes, whoo. Anyway, next game on the rotation, SMU-TCU. A lot of people don't know this is a big rivalry game. This is the iron skillet for both of these teams. And I think this is the last year they're going to play it because TCU said they weren't going to renew the contract. Yeah.
Yep.
And so SMU, who has got enough money that is moving into the ACC without a TV deal, good for them. Over under here, 63.5. TCU is laying 6.5 points. I am going over the total. I'm not even going to dig into this one a whole lot. I like where this one's going. This game, let me give you some numbers off of this. The last five of the last 7 years. 42-34, 42-34, 41-38, 42-12, 56-36, 56-37. I look for this game to be electric. Lots of points. I think it's going to be pushed the entire time. And both of these teams want to win. This is a huge deal. Both of these teams want to win this game. And so I look at this as going to be a fight all the way to the end. It'll be an early game that most people won't be watching. I really like the quarterback. I really like the quarterback play that SMU's getting now. And so I'm excited about this one. I could even see SMU sneaking in and getting an upset win in this spot, but in covering the 6.5, I think it's going to be a shootout. I think it was over 63 pretty easy.
First team to 40 wins. First team to 40 wins. I think this game's going over too. It'll be high scoring. Both these teams are scoring basically 40 points a game. And you know, the same thing. We saw how bad this defense could be for TCU against Colorado. I think you'll see a similar – because here's the deal. I think that SMU talent's not that much different than Colorado.
Probably not, no.
And so I think this is a lot – I think this is a high-scoring game. I agree with you. And we obviously know how bad TCU and Sonny Dykes are going to want to win it. So let's get out and let's get after it.
Let's go to Waco, Texas, to my alma mater. The University of Texas is rolling in here. They're laying 15 points against the Baylor Bears. I can sum this one up really quick, and I'll give you the next couple of games. Baylor looks bad, like real bad, like 4-8 bad. The Aranda experiment is not working. We're down to a backup quarterback in Sawyer Robertson that you guys gifted us from Mississippi State. I think the kid's probably got some talent, but I don't think there's much talent around him, frankly. I have been underwhelmed by the defense and what they've got. And here's the reason I like this game the most. Number one, Baylor beat Texas last year. And I'm sure Texas loved losing to Baylor at home because nobody likes losing to Baylor anywhere. Number two, Texas played like shit last week against Wyoming and couldn't ever really get anything rolling in that spot. And I think this is just a great spot for Texas to go to Waco and just beat the dog shit out of Baylor and then tell them we don't ever have to play you again. And that's where I think this thing's going to roll. And so I just can't see them laying a clunker in this spot. I just think this is a big win for them. I think they roll it over. I mean, the Wyoming team tried to hang around. They still won by 21 in that one and stretched it out. I think this one's going to be way more explosive. I would take this one all the way up to Texas minus 20, and I think they cover easy.
Mark, here's the thing. I think this really is – look, they just got a huge win. I don't think that – all they did what they needed to do, just win the Wyoming game. That's all you need to do. They just had a huge road win. Nobody cares about that. But this is where I think you find out if Sark has solved the culture problem in Austin. They got Oklahoma coming up in a couple of weeks. This team is significantly more talented. You are playing a backup quarterback who candidly has a good arm, but is still learning and struggling reading defenses. They've got what it feels like him pretty handcuffed and trying to keep it pretty basic. This is a chance where if you have fixed the culture and you're playing to your ability level and not the opponent's ability level, then you cover this game easily. It's like you said, it's a 3-touchdown or more win because they don't have the personnel and the ability to keep up with them. They come out and win a squeaker in this ball game, and I think we still have all the questions that we've had continually about Sark and the culture in Texas, and can it be fixed, candidly? Because you know I have questions about that. Because I think it's a – I don't necessarily think it's a culture problem inside the program. I think it's a culture problem around that university. I think there's a lot of pomp and circumstance to those guys. This is not a generation – or hard work is a premium. I think those guys come in feeling entitled, and a lot of them don't put on the work. And then around them, it's just that kind of, you know, culture that they don't play hard. So anyway, that's the gist of it.
I think we're past that. I really, really do. I think Texas is. I think they got it on the rails this year. Let's go to a huge game Saturday night. Ohio State will be traveling to Notre Dame. Over 100 here is 55. Notre Dame is getting 3 points at home. That line's popped just since we started the podcast. It's been at 2.5 all week. Now it's up to 3. Both these teams are scoring in the 40s. Ohio State's only given up 6.7 points a game. Notre Dame has given up 11.8. Both these teams are undefeated, and Notre Dame's 3-1 against the number. Ohio State is 1-2 against the number. Both of them are positive in the turnover margin. Scotty, how are we going to play?
I think we're going to play Notre Dame. Last year we took this ball game and we got it wrong. Candidly, Ohio State was better and Notre Dame not as good as I thought they were. And I don't think that's the case. I think Hartman is a difference maker at quarterback. I've got questions about quarterback play at Ohio State. The real key is, are they going to be able to get Harrison and that group of wide receivers the football? I think that's a big part of this ball game. But I also think it's Notre Dame defense. Is it another year under Marcus Freeman? They're better. I think they're playing better. I would take Notre Dame in this spot. I think we find out who both these teams are Saturday. I think we find out, is Notre Dame a national championship playoff contender or is Ohio State? I think we really find out this Saturday.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think Notre Dame is a playoff contender. I think this is a real team. I like what Marcus Freeman's doing. And this is a team last year that, I mean, think about last year what they had. They had fucking Drew Pine playing quarterback. And Mayers, their, you know, tight end, was they weren't very dynamic. And then you have an Ohio State team with C.J. Stroud and all those weapons. And this game wasn't that big of a blowout last year. I think Notre Dame comes in here with, Audric Estime is playing well. Hartman's doing some great things at quarterback. I like where we're going here.
I think Notre Dame's going to win. If you make me pick, I think Notre Dame's going to win.
Oh, yeah, I'm taking Notre Dame on the money line and Notre Dame +3 in this one is what I've got. So that'll be one of my underdogs that I've got this week that I like to cover the number. Scotty, MAC game of the week, game 377. Ohio's got Bowling Green. What do we got there?
I'm telling you, Ohio's good, Mark. Been saying it all preseason. Been saying it all year. They are going to roll through this group of teams with one loss, and they should be undefeated because I'm telling you, Rourke doesn't get hurt in that first game, and they win that ball game straight up at San Diego State. This is a good football team. More fire. This defense is what's good. I think the defense is playing at the highest level that it's played under. They've had some pretty good offenses before, but they just would kind of wilt against some of the better teams. I don't think that's the case. They may very well have the best defense in the MAC. And when you combine that with this offense, I think this is a good football team. I like a little gas can action from my guys here. I think they are finally getting right with a team that is – still struggling to find out who they are. I really like Ohio here. Even though they're going on the road, I think they're going to hammer these guys.
I like it. There's never been a big I mean, you're on the road in the MAC, bro. There's no home field advantage in the MAC. Let's be serious for a second.
Well, he's definitely not at Bowling Green right now because that team's been reeling so much.
Only other game I got, I mean, I got a couple more. That's the official board we got. I like the Duke-UConn under. Duke's defense is legit. UConn is broken offensively. I don't think they're going to be able to get anything done. I could see Duke just kind of taking care of business and moving on in this one. I like that game. I think the over in the Rutgers – I think Michigan may go over 45 and Rutgers by themselves. And Rutgers is not great. Harbaugh's back. I could see him blowing them out in this spot. I kind of like Texas Tech, but somebody's obviously given that number out because it moved from 4 all the way up to 6 and 6.5, so I'm going to pass on that one. Is there on the road? And the other one I'm going to take is I'm going to take UNLV to come to El Paso late at night and win the game on the road against UTEP. UTEP is really bad, and I'm kind of wondering if that locker room is starting to give up on Dana Dimmel.
Yeah, I'm surprised UTEP is not better. That roster looked like it should be better. The only other game that I'm leaning towards, now, especially now I'm getting a hook, I kind of like McMiawa at Penn State, even though it's a whiteout. I think this Iowa defense is good enough to keep them in the ball game because at the end of the day, the way Penn State sets the tone is running the football, and I think this Iowa front seven is good enough to, even though it's great backs, to slow them down enough to keep this ball game close.
They
keep
haven't
it close.
Ran,
I think they
– Penn State what? Hasn't ran the ball as well as I was expecting so far this season. I was expecting –
Yeah, I agree. I think this defense is good enough to keep them in it. Just keep them in it. So I like, especially now that you're getting a hook, I think that's a pretty good number. I liked it at 14. I really like it now that's 14.5.
Only other thing I've got that's of interest is a game really no one's going to watch. Is the Sam Houston State will travel down I-45 to play Houston. And here's why the over-under in this game is 38, and U of H is laying 12. Now, U of H has played terrible this season. They're 1-2. They hung around for about a quarter and a half against TCU last week. But Sam is averaging 1.5 points a game, and they are averaging –
They have kicked one field goal. That's all they've done.
It's incredible. And, I mean, if you haven't watched this team play, please do, because it is rough to watch this team. When they played – they are averaging 220 yards offense a game, and they have kicked one field goal. And they've played BYU, and they've played Air Force. It is just a dead under bet. And U of H, Dana Holgorsen, he's got to get fired this year. He made a comment the other day about how he needs some more older leadership on his team. And I was like, motherfucker, you've been there for like 5 years. What are you talking about?
Why didn't you get some? Yeah. Why didn't you go get some? I think the game is past hologram by. I think, you know, the partying and the drinking and all of that. And as you age, there needs to become, you know, a maturity level and things like that. He just doesn't. He still gets pissed and gets screaming and yelling and gets red-faced on the sideline. But when you've got that kind of laissez-faire attitude that he does, then I think it's hard to do that. You know, Mike Leach was Mike Leach 365 days a year. He's got a different mentality, especially on games. Some games he's over there laughing and cutting up, they're playing games. Other games he's over there just pissed off if they're playing bad. And I think this generation is different, and I think you have to coach them differently. I know you have to manage them differently. And I just think at the end of the day, some of these guys need to either move on to the NFL, go be assistants, do whatever they choose to do. But it's there's going to be some guys heading in different directions. I agree with you. This may be the end of Dana Holgorsen at Houston.
You got a favorite play this week?
Man, I have bounced all – I'm going Florida State. I feel as confident about that football team being able to cover that 1.5 as I do any game that we've got out there.
I'm going to go Texas minus 15. So that's what we got, folks. I'm excited. Give us a review. Hit us up on Twitter. Share us with your friends. Somebody write us a couple of reviews so we can get over 50 or whatever the number is that we've got from there. We're doing this for a lot of fun, trying to make some money. We'll put it all out on Twitter. If we got any extra plays, we'll add those to them as well. With all that being said, we hope you make a few bucks. Have a good time, and we'll talk to you next week.